We're in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. I have a big chunk to bite off today. I figure I got five chapters. And when we were allocating them, I didn't realize that it was such a big chunk of scripture. But this section of scripture is actually bookmarked, bookend on both ends. And the bookends are the fact that Babylon, the children of Israel, will be in Babylon for 70 years. That's in chapter 25, and it's also in chapter 29. And so those are the bookends to this section of Scripture. And then in between, it's not necessarily chronological, but Jeremiah and the Lord deal with certain events that are going to happen to the nation. So here, we'll read a few verses and then we'll make some comments. I'm not going to read the whole section, because we'll be here for 12 o'clock reading, and then I'll have 15 minutes of comments. But the reading of the word is never fruitless, it's always fruitful. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, these 23 years, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. The Lord has sent you to all the servants and prophets again, and has sent you all his servants and the prophets again and again, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear, saying, turn now everyone from his evil way and from the evil of your deeds, and dwell in the land which the Lord has given you and your forefathers forever and ever. And do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the work of your hands. I will do you no harm. But you have not listened to me, declares the Lord, in order that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own harm. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, declares the Lord. I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all the nations round about, and I will utterly destroy them and make them a horror, a hissing, and an everlasting desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone, and the lamp of the light. And this whole land will be a desolation and a horror, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will be when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon, that nation, declares the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans I will make an everlasting desolation. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have promised against it, and that all that is written in the book which Jeremiah has prophesied against the nations. We'll end there for right now. But here we have one of the places in the book of Jeremiah where he dates the book. He dates his prophecy. He dates this in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. It was the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I'm one for systematically reading the Bible. It's good to, however you want to do it, to read through the Bible, because as you read through, you'll not necessarily always understand what you're reading, but every time you read through the Bible, you'll gain insight different times and different places. The first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, that's when Daniel was taken captive. That's when the first part of the captivity of the nation of Judah was taken over into Babylon, was Nebuchadnezzar's first year. If you go to Daniel, Daniel chapter 1 is the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And so here we have Jeremiah and Daniel, they're contemporaries. Daniel was probably heard Jeremiah preach before he was taken captive. Don't know how old Daniel was. I suspect he was probably a teenager. He was probably young because of either that or he was a really old man when he died. Because he was in Babylon at least 70 years, if not more. And so if he was like 15 years old when he was taken into captivity, then that would have put him 85 years at the end of the captivity, and he was even there longer than that. So Daniel lived a long time. And so here we have Jeremiah giving this prophecy. And throughout the book, we've read and we've heard Jeremiah preach that the nation of Judah is going to go into captivity. The Babylonians are going to come in, and they're going to conquer the land, and they're going to take the children of Israel, the nation of Judah, captive. And here we have it, the length of time that the captivity will take place. It's 70 years. We read other places that the reason why God said 70 years is because they did not celebrate the year of Jubilee. They did not give the land rest every 50 years. And so God wanted the land to have rest, so he took that 490 years that they did not celebrate the year of Jubilee, and he says, because you have not given the land that year of rest every 49 years, then I'm going to have the land rest for 70 years. So here we have the time limit. It's not going to be forever. It's not going to be an endless captivity, but there'll be an end to the fact of their captivity. But in the meantime, Jeremiah, his message has always been one of repentance. I've run into lots of people, especially when I was in Bible college. Some of the people I had heated discussions with that did not think the Bible taught that we needed to repent to be saved. And the more I read the scriptures, the more I understand that God wants repentance. God wants repentance. God wants us to change our minds about the way we're living. And he wants us to make that change. We're going one way, and he wants us to turn around and change our minds. The Apostle Paul writes about the renewing of our minds to know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that we have to renew our minds. But before we can renew our minds, we got to look and we got to determine that we got to change our minds. We got to say, Lord, I'm going the wrong way and I got to turn and go the right way. You got to make that commitment to the Lord. Some of us have been Christians since we were, as they say, wee tots in some languages. As we were, when we were way real young. I was born and raised in a Christian home, so I always knew the Bible. I always had that Christian influence in my life. Some of you haven't had that Christian influence in your, that influence of Christian parents in your lives. But we all still need to repent. We're all heading to hell. We're all rebellious against God. It doesn't matter what our family ties are. And here, the children, the kingdom of Judah was going after idols. They were rebelling against the Lord. They had the outward look of religiosity. They had the outward look of religion. But yet, they were rebelling against God. They were secretly worshiping idols and worshiping other gods. And Jeremiah says, now turn everyone from his evil way and from the evil of your deeds. And if you do that, then God says you'll dwell in the land. That was their promise. But if you don't, then the judgment will continue to come. So here we have chapter 25 as we have the first taking of the exiles into Babylon in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. This was the first time that Nebuchadnezzar came into the land. He conquered the land. It became a puppet state of Babylon. And Judah was no longer fully independent. If you read the history, you'll note that during this time that even the Pharaoh of Egypt had an influence and took one of the kings captive and set up a king, changed his name. And then Nebuchadnezzar came in and he set up Zedekiah. That wasn't his birth name, but that was the name Nebuchadnezzar gave him. As a sign of authority, they changed his name. So here we have the beginning of the end in this chapter. In 11 years, Judah will be no longer. 11 short years. So here we have the first time that God said that Judah will be taken captive for 70 years. Then turn over to chapter 29. These are the bookends. Chapter 29 says, now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, the priests and the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the court officials, and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasah, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there, do not decrease. And seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name, for I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans which I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me, and you will search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to this place where I sent you into exile, because you have said the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. For thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David, and concerning all the people who dwell in this city, your brothers, who did not go with you into exile. For thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I am sending upon them a sword, the sword, famine, and pestilence. And I will make them like a split open fig that cannot be eaten due to rottenness. And I will pursue them with the sword and with famine and with pestilence. And I will make them a terror to all the kingdoms of the earth, and to be a curse and a horror and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them, because they have not listened to my word, declares the Lord, which I have sent them. And again, my servants, the prophets, I sent them again by my servants, the prophets, but you did not listen to them, declares the Lord. You therefore hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles whom I have sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. We'll end there. Here we have a letter that Jeremiah has sent to the exiles to encourage them. He wants them to pray that they might seek the welfare of the place where they're located. He wants them to settle down. He wants them to marry, give in marriage, to increase and not decrease. He wants them to live there and be fruitful there. Because the time, there will be an end to the captivity. When 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you and bring you back to this place. So he's given them hope. He's given them hope. I love the book of Daniel. I love reading it. It's a great book. In Daniel chapter 9, it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophets for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And then we have Daniel's prayer. I believe Daniel was of royal descent. I believe Daniel probably could have been one of the kings that reigned. Because his prayer in Daniel chapter 9 is one of a leader, confessing the sins of the nation, seeking the Lord for on behalf of the nation. And it's all because of this letter that Jeremiah had sent to the captives in Babylon. 70 years later, Daniel still had that letter. As I was thinking about this message, I'm amazed at the Lord's protection of the Old Testament. If you've read through the Old Testament, if you've read through the history of the Old Testament, and if you've read Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm sure most of us have read Hebrews chapter 11, the Israelites were not very kind to the prophets. It's amazing that any of the books of the prophets had survived to come down to us. It's amazing how these books survived, if it's not for God's supernatural protection of the book. We read later on, we go back to Jeremiah. Chapter 26. We have another naming or dating of the book. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the king's of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah which have come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words which I have commanded you to speak to them. Do not omit a word. Perhaps they will listen, and everyone will turn from his evil way, that I may repent of the calamity which I'm planning to do to them because of your evil deeds. And you will say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to listen to the words of my servant the prophets whom I have been sending to you again and again, but you have not listened, I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city I will make a curse to all the nations of the earth. What a message. Stand in the temple and say, if you don't repent, this temple is going to be like Shiloh. You remember where Shiloh was? Shiloh was the place of the tabernacle. That's where the tabernacle was set up before they had the temple. And Shiloh became a desolate place. Shiloh was sort of wiped out. Shiloh was no more. Verse 7 says, and the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. And when Jeremiah finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak, the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, you must die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house will be like Shiloh, and the city will be desolate without inhabitants? And all the people gathered about Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. And they said, a death sentence for this man, for he has prophesied against this city. You have heard it. You have heard in your hearing. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and to all the people, saying, the Lord hath sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words which you have heard. Now therefore amend your ways and your deeds. Obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will change his mind about the misfortune which he has pronounced against you. But as for me, I behold, I'm in your hands. Do to me as is good in your and right in your sight. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you'll bring innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on its inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to speak to you all these words in your hearing. Then the officials and all the people said to the priests and to the prophets, no death sentence for this man, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord. Then some of the elders of the land rose up and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and he spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion will be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem will become ruins, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Did Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death? You know who Micah of Moresheth is? Jonah, Micah, Nahum. We have this book of prophecy in our Bible. How did that prophecy survive? If the attitude of the people were, put Jeremiah to death for prophesying. The son of Hezekiah was Ammon. Ammon was a terrible king. I'm shocked. I mean, it just baffles me that this Bible of ours has been preserved. That we have all these Old Testament books. Are you baffled? I am. God has supernaturally preserved this book. If you take anything away from it, this message today, take away the fact that this book is a supernatural book. That what God has to say in this book, he wants you to listen to. So here we have the plot to kill Jeremiah, and then we have Jeremiah is spared. This is the second time I preach against the plot against Jeremiah's life. Wonder how many more times he's going to have a plot against his life. Then in the end of chapter 26, there was another prophet, Uriah. He prophesied the same thing. I won't read it, but I'll summarize it. He fled to Egypt. King Jehoiakim sent some soldiers to Egypt. They captured him, they brought him back, and they killed him. He prophesied the same thing Jeremiah prophesied. was thrown out into the, and his body was placed in the burial place of the common people. Two chapters to go. I might get it done. I've got 15 minutes. As you read through the Old Testament, and as you, especially as you read through chapter 27 of Jeremiah, in this chapter, is listing a whole bunch of places, a whole bunch of little nations. And if you study the Old Testament and you think about these nations, at one time or another, all these nations had the light of the knowledge of the Lord given to them. We know Edom did. We know Moab, this part of the sons of Lot, they had knowledge of the Lord. The Ammonites, there's a, all the little nations that were round about Judah and Israel, most of them had a knowledge of the Lord in their history. And as a result, God's judging them for their knowledge. And he says in the beginning, in verse 1 of chapter 27, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word of this word came to the to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, make for yourself bonds and yokes and put them on your neck. And so here Jeremiah is going to have an object lesson. He's going to take and tie himself up. He's going to put a yoke on his neck, and he's going to bind himself. He's going to have bonds put upon him. And then send word to the king of Edom, to the king of Moab, to the kings of the sons of Ammon, to the king of Tyre, to the king of Sidon, by the messengers that come to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Then command them to go to their master, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the men, the beasts, which are on the face of the earth, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I will give it to the one who is pleasing in my sight. Wow, that's a sermon right there. If you're into sermonizing. God says he made the beasts, the men, the earth, and everything on it. And God says, I can give it to anyone I want. And I'm going to give it to all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant. My servant. I have given him also the wild animals of the field to serve him. I never heard that statement ever before in Scripture. Even the wild animals were to serve Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the servant of the Lord. When we read about him in Daniel, I believe Nebuchadnezzar repented. I believe Nebuchadnezzar will be in heaven, just like King David's in heaven. God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar in such a way that he repented of his sins, and I believe he's as much saved as any Old Testament believer is saved. He's my servant. God was using Nebuchadnezzar. Tells us how long he's going to use him. And all the nations shall serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes. Then many nations and great kings will make him their servant. And it will be that the nation or the kingdom which does not serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish that nation with the sword and with famine and with pestilence, declares the Lord, until I have destroyed it by his hand So here we have God choosing a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, to judge all the nations, not only Judah, but all the nations around Judah. That whole area, God is using Nebuchadnezzar to judge. Because they've had the light, and they've rejected the light. Verse 9 says, "But as for you, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, your sorcerers, who speak to you, saying, 'You shall not serve the king of Babylon.'" So here we have people from the exile that think that they know better than God. "For they are prophesying a lie to you." They actually come to the point where they're saying that all the vessels of the temple that were brought into Babylon will be returned. And then God says in verse 19, "For thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea," which is the labor, "concerning the stands, and concerning the rest of the vessels that are left in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take when he carried into exile Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, all the nobles of the king of Judah and Jerusalem. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah that are in Jerusalem, they shall be carried into Babylon. And they shall be there until the day I visit them, declares the Lord, and I will bring them back and restore them to this place." So not only is Nebuchadnezzar going to have what he took, but he's going to have everything else that he didn't take. And that was fulfilled 11 years after this prophecy. 11 short years. Now we have chapter 28. Didn't think I'd get through it. 5 chapters, did you? "Now it came about that same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 4th year and the 5th month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon.'" Oh my, here we have a competitor to Jeremiah. Remember who? You remember Gibeon in history? Who are the Gibeonites? They were the ones that came in and deceived Joshua, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were the ones, they were Canaanites that came in and they gave that ruse. And they tricked Joshua into making a treaty with them so they wouldn't get destroyed. And what did Joshua say? "That you're cursed. That from now on you'll be gathering wood and water for the temple, for the tabernacle. There'll be servants in the temple and in the tabernacle." And remember, Saul had in his zeal put some Gibeonites to death. And when David was king, he had to right that wrong. And here we have Hananiah, who was from Gibeon. Have they been absorbed into the nation? Don't know. He says, "I'm going to bring back Jeconiah and all of the things that were taken." And the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen." Hey. Amen. Let it be, man. I hope it's going to happen. Hope you're right. "May the Lord do so, and may the Lord confirm your word, which you have prophesied, to bring back the vessels of the house of the Lord's house and all the exiles from Babylon to this place." I hope you're right, but you're wrong. "Yet hear now the words which I am about to speak in your hearing and in the hearing of the people. The prophets who were before me and before you from the ancient times prophesied against many lands and against many kingdoms of war and of calamity and of pestilence. And the prophet who prophesies of peace when the word of the prophet came to pass, when that prophet will be known as one the Lord truly sent." The prophecy has to come true. 100%. Everything that Jeremiah prophesied could be verified in his lifetime, as far as the captivity and the return. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and broke it. So here Jeremiah's walking around with his yoke on, and he's bonds. And Hananiah took it off and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord, even so I will break within 2 full years the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations." Then the prophet Jeremiah went on his way. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Go speak to Hananiah and say to him, thus says the Lord, you have broken a yoke of wood, but you have made instead of them yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on all the necks of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have also given him the beasts of the field." Hananiah just made it worse. Instead of a yoke of wood, he's going to make it a yoke of iron, God said. And then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah the prophet, "Listen now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm about to remove you from the face of the earth. This year you are going to die, because you have counseled rebellion against the house of the Lord." And that year, in the 7th month, Hananiah died. Wow. If there was a sin unto death, Hananiah committed it. If there was a sin unto death, Hananiah committed it. Jeremiah says, "You're going to die this year." A few months later, he was gone. The word of the Lord is sure. If you're a true prophet of the Lord, everything that you prophesy will come true. When we study the word, when we study the prophecies, we see that all the prophecies that can be verified of that for us are in the past. They came true 100%. So we can look at the prophecies of the future, like the prophecies in Daniel, the prophecies of the future temple in Ezekiel, other prophecies. And we can say they'll come true 100%. The prophecies that we can test were literally fulfilled. The prophecies of the future will be literally fulfilled. We can trust this book, the Bible. I hope we haven't sinned like Ananias sinned. I hope not. I hope we're not in rebellion against the Lord. If you put your faith and trust in Him as Savior, I trust that you have. If I look about here, I see people that have all told and all made a confession and a profession of faith in Christ. But I don't know your heart. There are many testimonies given that people have gone to church their whole life. They thought they were Christians. They thought they believed. And yet they have not put their faith and trust in Him as Savior. They've not repented. There's one message that Jeremiah has given us: repent. Turn from your evil. Turn from your rebellion. Obey the words of the Lord. Have you repented? Have you returned from your sins? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ as Savior? That's why He came down to this earth this Christmas season. He came to die. Came to die for you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your love for us, Lord. We thank You for all that You've done. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You that You've preserved it through many trials and many times of testing. We are amazed, Lord, at the way You've preserved Your word supernaturally. We thank you, Lord, that your word is sure and your word is true. And we pray, Lord, if anyone here has not put their faith and trust in you as Savior, that they would repent of their sins and turn to you and confess that they need Jesus Christ's payment on the cross to pay for their sins. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We pray as we depart from here, Lord, you'll take us to our home safely. We pray, Lord, for the meeting this evening, for the presentation this evening, that all will be done, will be honoring and glorifying to you, and that if anyone comes that does not know you as Savior, that the gospel message might be clear and plain, and that your Holy Spirit would work in their lives. For we pray this all in Christ's name.